I'm speaking with Kip Cullors, soybean grower extraordinaire from the southwest side of Missouri. We're going to talk about a trip you just got back from in Africa. I bet it was warmer there.
It was about 85 degrees, 90, and but it was raining quite a bit. It's typically dry. I was there in South Africa last year about the same time, and it was kind of a dull green because it's kind of brown, but this year it's been raining quite a bit, and it's actually a lush green part, or lush green, the grass, and the crops actually looked really good.
So what were you doing there?
So David Hill and I went to South Africa, and it was a BSF Pioneer sponsored event, so we kind of traveled around the country and had meetings, and boy, it was crazy. They would go to an event and they was expecting 200 and 400 would show up, and people would fly 2 hours out of Zimbabwe or Zambia and then have to drive 3.5 hours once they landed, like in Johannesburg, to hear us talk, because I guess they didn't figure we was ever going to be going to Zimbabwe. But it was quite interesting. I think the largest group was around 500, but we were there. We did meetings for 5 days, and they're big lamb eaters there, and I'm not much of a lamb eater, and I sure didn't particularly care for the South African lamb. It's kind of fatty and it's kind of got a twang, but I told them that I preferred beef. So after Monday, they started fixing David and I steaks, because I don't think either one of us likes lamb too much.
So what were they most interested in hearing from you guys?
You know, it was pretty typical, like we would get here in the U.S., basically the same questions. You know, they kind of live in a dry climate, and it's interesting because they do where it's really dry. They're in like 36, 38-inch rows, and then they just plant every other row, and they look for hybrids that has a lot of flex to them. One thing I was shocked about, I didn't realize they had Asian soybean rust there, but they do, because they actually, it freezes pretty well all across there. So I was, like I said, I was shocked that they actually have Asian soybean rust. But they actually use their fungicide, where we use Headline or Headline Amp. They use the exact same thing there, except they call it a different name. It was Avican or something like that. But basically, it's exactly the same thing as Headline. But the same deal as I go to Brazil, they use Headline down there, but they use a different name. They use a lot of Opera in Brazil.
So those are BASF products. They just name them differently in different countries?
Yeah, they do, because in South America, they have a different name for it, and in Africa, they have a different name for it. But the main thing was then down there for the BASF part was the seed treatment, because, you know, BASF bought out Beckerd Underwood, and so in South Africa, they don't use much seed treatment, so that was one of the big things we was talking about. And BASF had brought a guy in from Beckerd Underwood out of Switzerland, and he did talks on seed treatment and what Beckerd Underwood did, and so they also eat this white corn. If they take white corn, they grind it up, you know, like grits are in the U.S. They kept trying to tell me it's just like grits. And I kept telling them that our grits in the U.S. actually have a little texture to it, and it's not near as dry. I got a picture of this white stuff with a David took it. I had this spoon turned upside down, and it wouldn't fall off the spoon. That's how dry it was.
Yummy.
Yeah, they said they eat that 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
How important is it? There, it just seems like we're hearing more and more about South Africa and the importance of really helping them basically feed themselves and being a lot more self-sufficient by using a lot of the tools that we use here in the United States.
Yeah, the poverty down there is just indescribable. You drive along and you know, on the left side of the road, you got poverty, where they've got mud huts and they got tin on the roofs and they got rocks holding the tin down. And on the other side of the road, you know, it's a little higher class. But, they still import a lot of corn there, because they don't raise enough corn. They've got about roughly 2.5 million acres of corn. And, of course, I was focusing on soybeans. They have about 500,000 acres of soybeans there, and they're trying to grow that. And it's kind of all farmer save seed down there, and I was emphasizing that, you know, if you save your seed, you're losing basically 4 bushels to the acre because they don't really take that good care of it. But, yeah, they're trying to get to where they're more self-sufficient. There's a lot of land down there, but like I said, it's pretty dry. And so, you know, they're just trying to overcome that.
Well, what do you think the potential is for them to increase production of soybeans in that area?
Well, they got a lot of water. There's a lot of rivers, and you see a lot of pivots down there, and they get pretty good production where they've got the pivots. If they just need to implement some of our technology. John Deere was also a co-sponsor of this, and they've actually got all the exact same equipment that John Deere does as we do here in the U.S., and they import all their, I don't think they have any factories down there. All their combine stuff comes out of the U.S., all their 8,000s and 7,000s comes out of the U.S., and a lot of their planters comes out of the U.S. Now, they get some planters in parts of the country that comes out of Brazil, which I was kind of surprised, but I recognize this John Deere planter sitting there, and I was talking to the dealer, and he was telling me it was U.S. I said, no, it's not. That came out of Brazil. And he argued with me for a minute, and I said, listen, I go to Brazil every other week, and that planter came out of Brazil, and I've toured the Brazilian John Deere planter factory, and I guarantee you that did not come out of the U.S. It came out of Brazil. So I showed them our crop stands that we have, our John Deere crop stands, and they was all pretty interested in that because their pivots and stuff, you know, they are a little bit, they're probably more limited on water than we are here in the United States. So that'd be another tool that actually would help them quite a bit.
The farmers that you spoke to, are these mostly, you know, small acre holding farms?
No, we actually, we did 5 meetings, and they said that we covered 80% of the total production acres in South Africa, whether it be corn, wheat, or beans. But we probably only seen 20% of the farmers. So basically, we was with 80% of the total land mass, but only 20% of the farmers. So I'd say we was with most of the bigger guys. A lot of them is probably 1,000 hectares, which would be 2,500 acres, would probably be average size. The farmers that we were in front of, you know, they had that deal back in '94, and where the government went in and bought a lot of the land and give it to the poor people, which I don't really know how well that's worked so far.
Well, interesting, Kip. It's always great to talk to you because it is so important what's going on in South Africa and especially how companies like BASF and John Deere and Pioneer are really helping the farmers there utilize some of the new technology that we have here in the United States to increase their productivity.
You know, Pioneer was the main sponsor of this. BASF has, like, I think they said 187 employees over there, and I think I met every one, and I think Pioneer has relatively the same amount, and I met, I think, every one of those. And John Deere, I don't know how many they have. It was pretty well the same John Deere crew that traveled with us. But, yeah, it was quite interesting. It's not somewhere I want to go every week, but, you know, it's fun to go to these places every once in a while.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kip.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.
All right. Take care, Kip.